Lord, we do exalt you in this house. Lord, you reign as King. You are our King. You are our Lord. Lord, you've saved us. You've redeemed us. Lord, you've given us your precious righteousness, Lord. Lord, we bless you for every gift, every good and perfect gift, Lord, that you've given us. Lord, it comes from above, Lord. We thank you that you've given us all, Lord. You've given us your precious Son, Lord. You've laid down your life, Lord Jesus, for every one of us. Lord, I thank you that that victory, that is yours, Lord, it is ours. I thank you, Lord, that you reign victorious, Lord, and we too, Lord, for those that put their faith in you, Lord, they reign victorious, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the word over the church this year, victory. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your people are seeing victory this year. I bless you for every victory, Lord, you're bringing your people through. Lord, I bless you that your word, Lord, the word that you speak, the word that comes forth, Lord, that word in season, Lord, that is the word, Lord, that does not return void. And I bless you that you're speaking, you have spoken, you will continue to speak. Lord, you are a holy God, Lord. We declare, Lord, above everything else, Lord, you are holy. That is who you are, Lord. We bless you, Lord, that you are holy. You are holy. And Lord, one day in heaven, Lord, we will be as the others, knelt down before you, praising you, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Thank you, Lord, that we can do that now. But Lord, we await, Lord, your return, the promise of that. And we, Lord, we rejoice in that. We thank you for it. Amen. 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 Have a seat, church. Have a seat. Good to see you all. I'm going to begin in the book of James, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 18. Lord, I just lift up your word, and Lord, your word is not simply a novel or a history book, Lord. It is a living word. Lord, it's your word that gives life, Lord. The entrance of your words gives light. Lord, it gives us power. Lord, it transforms us. Lord, it is a living word. Lord, and I thank you for the word today, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that this word would pierce. Lord, it would do its work. It would do its perfect word. Lord, it would transform. It would renew. It would cleanse. It would strengthen. It would encourage each of us here today and those online. I ask just for your anointing, Lord, just to rest upon me, Lord. Give me the grace to speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Okay, verse 1, chapter James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Go to verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amen. I want to speak about temptations this morning, because each of you are going to have them. The Bible doesn't say if we have temptations. says when we have temptations. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. In Matthew 4 verse 1, it says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So no less we are going to be tempted. And James here, he speaks of testing. So there's actually two tests that as Christians we are going to face, if you like. There's an outward test, which is, well, I should say a trial. There's two types of trials. The first one is an outside, comes from the outside. It's what Job suffered. It was from the outside. That was a test. The other trial that we face is one from the inside, which is like what Jesus faced. That was in the inside. So Job and Jesus both had trials. You and I will both have trials. Like I said, Job's one was from the outside, which was a test. Everything visible, you could see it. Everything that was taken and stolen from him, it was all outward. But Jesus, when he went through his trial, that was a temptation. That was something on the inside. That was something you couldn't necessarily see. So today I want to just talk about that, because we have an enemy that wants to tempt us. We know that. That's one of the things the Bible says, that he'll come and he will bring temptation to us. He'll bring temptation to us to fall and to sin. And so James here speaks of what we can do and what they look like. And the purpose of testing, firstly, it's a testing of our faith. In the book of Genesis, you see Abraham, when he was tested, when God said, offer up your son, your only beloved son who you love. He was tested in that moment. And God was just saying, looking down at Abraham and saying, or thinking rather, can I trust Abraham to do it as I've told him? It wasn't necessarily, does Abraham trust God? It was, Abraham, do I trust you to do as I'm telling you to do? Because faith that is not tested, it can't be trusted. So our faith, it's going to be tested so that it can be trusted, like it was with Abraham. And we are going to go through various trials. We're going to go through various temptations as a mark and as of a testing of our faith. And that is to, the word I like to use is prove. And that is to show strong what is on the inside. It's to prove our character strong for all that God has for us. It's not only to prove us, but it's also to improve us. It's to improve us. It's to remove the dross from our life. It's to remove everything hidden. It's to purge us from any sin so that we are, as James says, perfect. That word perfect means mature. We're complete. We're not lacking anything. So there's a reason that you and I as Christians are going to be tempted. And it's to produce in us a greater faith. It's to refine us. It's to, like I said, prove us and improve us. It's going to test us to see what's on the inside. James says that leads to producing patience. In verse 3 he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So patience of all things is so important in this Christian life, because we're going to need patience. And patience isn't something that is inactive. Patience is something active. It actually requires strength. You and I as Christians, to remain patient in this walk through all that God does in us and through us, is to produce patience. But it takes strength to be patient. And, you know, some of us, we're all in a different level in our walk. Some of us have been believers for 1 year, some of us for 10, 20, 30 years. But at the end of it all, we need, if we're going to endure to the end, the Bible says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. If we're going to endure, we actually need patience. And one of the ways we get patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit, is through testing. It's through trials. It's through those temptations. And it comes through faith when it's tested. He said it leads, and I said this before, it leads to perfection. And that word perfection, or perfect, as James says, just means complete, mature,
We don't actually lack anything. We've come to a place where we've gone through temptations, we've come out of them. We've gone through trials, and we've gone through tests, and we've come out of them. And God's produced something in us through it all. He's removed the old, and he's produced the new in us, because we have the Holy Spirit who's transforming us. God's purpose in each of us as Christians is to refine our character. It's to make us more like Jesus. And in a way, God's ruthless when he does that. In a sense, he'll do anything he needs to do to refine us, to produce in us the character of the Lord Jesus Christ through his Spirit. So this is really important for us, because it's important that we know this. We know what James is saying, because in verse 3, the beginning, it says, knowing, uses the word knowing, that the testing of your faith. So if we don't know that, we're likely just to fall when temptation comes our way. When something that we used to enjoy that was sinful in our old life, before we were born again, comes our way, we're likely just to fall into it. Yet if we know the purpose of temptations and what the enemy brings to us, then we acknowledge his power. We're going to be able to walk through. We're going to be able to walk through, because God doesn't expect us to fall, because he's giving us this word. Jesus was tempted. Like I said, you and I are going to be tempted. It's not wrong to be tempted. Okay? Some of you need to hear that. Some of you have temptations. We all have temptations. It's not wrong to be tempted. Like I said, Jesus was tempted, and it says in Hebrews 4 that he did not sin. It says in all points he was tempted, but he did not sin. So for us today, we don't have to submit to any temptation that comes our way from the enemy. And when we are tested, when these temptations do come to us, and they can be in the form of three things. In 1 John, it gives us sort of a definition, 1 John 2:16, of what are our flesh, the old man. So before we were born again, that old man in us was active and alive and doing what it liked. That has now been crucified because of what Jesus has done and putting our faith in him. It says in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So it talks there of the lust of the flesh. That's anything in our flesh that comes from our physical body. So any temptation from within, any desire that is sinful, that we want to indulge, that is a lust of the flesh. It's a lust coming from within. It's a physical, from the physical part of us. But then it also talks about the other things. It could be like past addictions. Maybe we've come out of addiction. It could be substance abuse. It could be whatever it is. But there's a temptation to go back into that. That too is something from the flesh. And another one could be compromise. If we have someone who always are compromising, I don't limit the flesh just to obvious sins. I'm talking about things like compromise. Things like we always want to compromise in certain situations. We all fall into compromise, and we're always tempted to compromise in certain situations because maybe we got the fear of man. That too is something of the nature of our flesh that rises up. Forbidden sexual immorality is another one. Also talks about the lust of the eyes. That talks about covetousness. Basically, covetousness is basically you want everything that everyone else has. So all the glitz and the glamour, all the toys and the this and the that, all the worldly things that the world loves, you've got an eye for them. That too, there's a temptation there to go after them things and pursue them. They're equally a temptation as the person who has an addiction or a temptation to go back into, say, substance abuse. The third one there talks about the pride of life. And the pride of life, that talks about boasting. It's the attitude in us that says, nobody tells me what to do. Nobody tells me what to do. And there's a boasting involved in that. So these things are all in us part of the old man nature that Satan wants to tempt us with. See, temptation works like this. There's two things that work, two factors. There's temptation from within, but then the devil, Satan, he's on the outside. And he has something that we desire. And he knows and watches us. And he uses that thing on the outside to attract the thing that's desiring on the inside. So I've never had a problem with alcohol. But let's say I did before I became a Christian. Satan would use alcohol as a temptation to pull me back into the world, to pull me back into sin. But he doesn't use that for me because I know I couldn't care less about alcohol. But for something else he might use to tempt me, to bring me back into the world, to tempt me to sin, to fall, to come into a place of destruction. But I want to share with you how we move, how we get out of this, because the first part of it is when we're going through those things, if we can identify in our lives behaviors or desires in us that we feel tempted to do, the first thing James says is we've got to count it all joy. He says that we are to count it all joy in verse 2 when we fall into various trials. So the first thing is we actually got to count it all joy. Why does he say that we are to count it all joy when we're in trials? Because remember I said at the beginning, God has a purpose for those things. It's to refine us. It's to improve us. It's to remove the dross and the sin from our life. It's to refine us from the inside out. It's to renew our character. He's making us more like Jesus. Like I said, he'll do whatever he needs to do that. So there's temptations that will come our way. And the first thing we have to do is not just to grovel and say, why me? It's to rejoice. It's to actually have joy in that situation, because James says, count it all joy. So that's really important that we do in those moments count it all joy. But he also says, ask for wisdom. He says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. So in those times, in those trials, you're going to ask God, God, what do I do through this? Show me. Wisdom is practical. Show me what to do practically in this situation. How do I get out of this? Lord, I'm feeling so tempted to move into XYZ. My flesh really desires to do this thing. I know I'm forbidden to do it, but I really want to do it, and I really desire to do it. I know, Lord, that I'm not to. What do I do? Help me in this. Help me. Help me in this situation. Ask for wisdom. We're not to blame God. We're not to blame God in any of these things that we go through. Because in verse 13 it says, "No, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God." So we've got to also take responsibility, not, oh, it's that person's fault that's tempting me with this. Or it's that area of that person's life that is tempting me to fall. Or it's because of that reason that I feel tempted to do this. We've got to actually take responsibility, as James said in verse 13, that it's not someone else, it's us, it's on us, and it's only by the grace of God that we can actually get through every one of those trials and temptations. So we've got to count it all joy, we've got to ask for wisdom, we can't blame God. Like I said, these things are going to come, because he says in verse 13 again, when he is tempted, not if. So that word means, that word temptation means to be lured away by bait. That's what it means in the Greek, to be lured away by bait. And as I said, the devil outside, he plays on that lust or that desire on the inside. And when those two things come about, when we yield to that lust from the devil's enticement, then it's sin. It's not before. But if we do yield to that, to whatever Satan's offering us on the outside, whether it's something to do with the flesh that we have in our desire, in our physical body, something we want to yield to, whether it's something we're looking at, covetousness, something that we so desire that we know we shouldn't move into, and it may not necessarily be sinful, but it could be unhelpful for us. We know Are we going against our conscience that we know that whatever this thing is, we shouldn't be entering into it? We're going against our conscience, then it's sin. Or it's the pride. It's part the pride of life, which, like I said, is there's an attitude of being boastful. And pride is, you know, pride is this one of the, I guess, the only sin that Satan doesn't make you feel guilty about. So we got to be so careful of pride, because with that comes destruction. Now I want to show you how to pass through, because in Hebrews 4, if you turn to Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4, verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was on all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." There it is. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace, and find grace, sorry, to help in the time of need." And then I'll read one out straight after. This is in Hebrews 2:18. "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are being tempted." So we see that Jesus, in both those scriptures, he experienced temptation. And it says there in that first scripture, Hebrews 4 verse 15, it says that he is a high priest who says he cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Well, I should read from the start. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was on all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And he gives us the way in to find help. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to find grace to help in the time of need." So in that place, we have opportunity to just come before God boldly. We can come boldly. When we come to the throne of grace boldly, that means we come without reservation. That we can come in with that temptation, like I said earlier, ask for God's wisdom, but to come in, because his throne is one of mercy and grace. And we can actually come in to find the grace that we need when we're tempted. Because it's when we're tempted that we need the grace. And so you might say, "Oh, am I going to be tempted for the rest of my life? Am I going to have to endure temptations all my life? The same ones? Am I going to just be tempted every week with the same thing?" You and I, the Bible says in Romans 6, in verse 5, it says, "For if we've been united together in likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." So if you're someone who's put their faith in Jesus Christ, you've been water baptized, the Bible says that Jesus, he's not only delivered us from the power of sin, the penalty of sin rather, but also the power of sin. You and I, our old man, before we were born again, that old nature is being crucified. So when Jesus died on that cross, you and I, we died with him. He took our place, but our old man died that death as well. When we went down in the waters of baptism, that represents our death. So the old man, the old nature, he's actually dead. Whether you believe it or not, it's a fact. You've been crucified with Christ, the Bible says. It's no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in me. So we have now the Holy Spirit in us. Now that's really important, because the Holy Spirit in us, we are united with Jesus Christ. Jesus is not on earth, he's in heaven. He sent back his Holy Spirit. We are united with Jesus Christ. So whenever something comes in us, something that wants to take over, a part of that old man, that old nature, it could be simple things like fear, anxiety, moods, doubt, unbelief, resentment, lying. These things of the old man, they have to be crucified. So when actually we depend on God for his grace, in that moment those things want to rise up in us that want to make us sin, we actually don't permit them. We actually got to crucify those desires. The Bible says in Galatians 5 that we, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not... finish it off for me. Fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So those desires, those lusts, or another evenly placed word is desire, when those things rise up, we actually have to crucify those things. And when we do that, we're resurrected with the Lord Jesus. We have the grace that comes forth, and we bring forth in that moment, by his grace, we bring forth the fruit of his righteousness. We're connected to him by the Spirit. Whenever those things rise up in us, those temptations, and over time, those things are just going to lose their hold altogether, that we're actually going to be able to walk free, not having to battle the same battles. There might be new battles, but the same battles, we won't have to just keep coming over and over each week, each month, battling the same temptations, the same tests, falling in the same sin. Jesus has broken the power of sin. You and I, as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that you never fall. I am saying that there is a possibility because we have the Spirit of God. We have the ability to reign over sin because the power of that sin has been defeated. You don't have to be dominated by sin. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the grace of God living in you. We are connected to Jesus, spirit to spirit. We are united with him. And when we crucify anything that is sinful in our life, when we crucify it, yes, it's painful. Crucifixion is painful. But when we say, no, I do not submit to you, you were crucified, whatever it is, lying, resentment, you were crucified on the cross when I died. You bring forth the grace of God. You bring forth the fruit of his righteousness to walk out in. But it's painful. That's what crucifixion is. In that moment, though, you've got to crucify that thing. Like that person offends you and you just want to get offended, but you go, nope, that offense is part of the old Ross. That old Ross died. He went under the water. He's perished. I'm not going to let you dominate me. Talking to that offense. When I do that, when I choose to just crucify that, I actually bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. I bring forth the fruit of his righteousness by his grace. And in that moment, the offense goes. Now, you replace offense with lying in that moment. You replace it with lust. You replace it with whatever it is. God has given us the victory. He's given us everything we need to overcome because he's overcome. Hallelujah. So we come boldly. Like I said, we've got to find that grace in time of need. That's when we're tempted. But we also need to delight ourselves in the Lord. This is what it says in Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. The more of God's word that we have hidden in our hearts, the easier it is to live a holy life. Yeah? So the more we have his word in us, the easier it is to live a holy life. Because this is what Jesus said. He said in John 14, 26, but the helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. So that was Jesus speaking to his disciples. We have his word now. We know that word is in us. The Holy Spirit does the same thing. He brings to remembrance everything that we've learned, everything that God's shown us through his word, everything that we've hidden in our heart from his word. So there's a power there to do so. We've got to delight ourselves in the Lord, though. That talks about your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That talks about delighting ourselves in the word of God. Because it's very easy just to read the Bible out of a duty. But to actually delight ourselves in the word is another thing. And it's really important that we do have a desire. We're not going to hide this word in our heart if we're not in it, if we don't love it, if we're not consumed by it. But it's so important that we do delight in it and that it does consume us. Because in Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, "Great peace have those who love your law." In other words, love the word. And then it says, "And nothing causes them to stumble." So having the word in our heart, like I said, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Having this hidden in our heart gives us the victory also. It says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." You can take that. This was written before the Holy Spirit had come. That's in the Old Testament. You and I have the Holy Spirit. Like I said, He has given us the power. He's given us the ability by His grace to walk victoriously. Yes, you'll be tempted, but you won't stay tempted. You'll overcome temptation, just as Jesus did, because when Satan came, He just spoke the word. He didn't just say, "Go away, I don't like that temptation." He spoke the word. It's really important that when temptations come our way, that we actually speak the word. Whatever it is that we are tempted with, we look for a word that is relevant to that temptation. And we speak the word and we stand on the word and we declare the word against that temptation. That is your victory. The faith is in the word. And I want to tell you, when you do start declaring the word, once you start understanding the word more, once you start desiring it more, it's going to change your desires. You may not love the word. If you're really honest, you could be honest and just say, "At the moment, I don't love it, but I want to love it." And that's okay. You can, if that's where you're at, that's completely fine, because God does change the desires of our heart. In Psalm 37, in verse 3 to 4, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness." He says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." So when we actually delight in God, when we delight in His word, not only is it going to be more effective in us to walk out victoriously, but also He changes us and our desires. So those desires of the things I said before, maybe it's resentment, maybe it's lying, maybe we're always moody, maybe it's fear, anxiety, maybe it's lust, it could be looking at things, it could be pride, deception, whatever these things might be, God's going to change those desires. He says there, "Delight yourself in the Lord and He shall give you the desires of your heart." So you'll find satisfaction in God and He will give you the desires of your heart. And those desires that God puts, well, the desires in your heart, they're not selfish desires. Those, we can misread the desires of our heart and go, "Well, if I delight myself in you, you'll give me everything I want." But these desires are the desires that God puts in our hearts. When we start delighting in Him, He puts godly desires in our hearts. He puts God-pleasing desires. He puts godly appetites in us. And those desires which are His then become ours. They're the desires that God wants to put in our hearts. But it all begins in delighting ourselves in the Lord, because they're the desires that He wants to fulfill. And so when we're walking through this life, it's only a short matter of time before Jesus comes. Now, whether He returns or we perish before then, the Bible says, and what James said, is that we have for ourselves a crown. We have a crown laid up for us. In James 1:12, it says there, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." That is the victor's crown. It also talks about it in Revelation 2, chapter 12. And this is to the church in Smyrna, the persecuted church. It says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested." So that's the same word as temptation. "And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So there is a victor's crown for each and every one of you, those that we endure together, we stand on the word together, we're faithful together. And in heaven, there is a victor's crown. And I don't know completely what that looks like, but I know if it's from God, it's something good. It's something better and more rewarding than any other reward we could receive here on earth. So that is something that James here and what Jesus said in the book of Revelation is something for us to endure for. Yes, Christ is coming back. At the end of our life on here on earth, there is a crown for you. There is a crown, a victor's crown, like the one they used to give in the Olympics in the old days, like a wreath around the head. That is something that God is going to give to each of us. A bit like when he says to the parable of the ones that with the talents, the parable of the talents. Well done, good and faithful. Something very similar to that. So I look forward to that reward. I look forward to all that God has for us in the next life. But before then, you and I need to know before we get there that you are, number one, going to be tempted. We have an enemy. Jesus was tempted. Number two, we do have a way out that we don't have to fall into any sin, that God, because of the victory of the cross, he's given us every means to get out. Everything we need is here. He's giving it to us freely. So, Lord, we just want to thank you that, Lord, you are on the throne, that, Lord, you are in complete control. Lord, you are sovereign over everything, Lord, including our lives. Lord, there's nothing in our lives that you do not miss. And Lord, I thank you that you are ultimately you're working all things for good for those that love you and are called according to your word. Lord, I just want to thank you that, Lord, in each of us, you're producing more of the life of Christ. Lord, you're producing in us a character, Lord, that we could not produce on our own. Lord, you are using things, Lord, to prove us, to improve us, Lord, to remove dross. Lord, you're putting things in our way, Lord, to refine us. Lord, we just want to bless you that you are refining us. Lord, that you are concerned about our character. Lord, that is the only thing that we are going to take to heaven. So, Lord, I lift up every person here, Lord, that is going through a trial. They're going through a test and temptation. I'm asking, Lord, for a fresh grace to be released. And, Lord, you said, come to your throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace in time of need. Lord, I'm asking right now for mercy. I'm asking for grace, Lord. You said, come boldly, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that you would just, Lord, come to each person afresh, Lord. You would just quicken to them, according to your Holy Spirit, every word they need. Lord, would you release a wisdom, Lord, a practical solution for everything they're going through right now, Lord. And I thank you that you are, Lord, moving in our midst, that you are transforming us from the inside out, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that as you have won the victory, Lord, we too have won the victory, Lord. We can reign over sin. We can reign over any and every temptation, Lord, because you've given us the ability to do that, Lord. I thank you that the power of sin has been defeated. And Lord, we are united with you in heavenly places, Lord. We are seated, the Bible says, in heavenly places. Lord, we are connected to you by the Spirit. So, Father God, I just declare that word victory right now over every person here in the family they represent, Lord. Those online, I declare the word victory, Lord, that you've given this church, Lord, that we shall walk through every temptation, Lord, that we shall not stumble, but, Lord, we shall reign victoriously until the time that you come home. Father, we bless you for this word. We thank you, Lord, it's the power to change us. Lord, it's the word that gives us life. And I thank you that, Lord, you are doing all that you're doing in each of us. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to just continue to praise.